Hello and welcome to SwissInfo's program for December 13th. I'm Susan Masika. This week, we're going to get wet. We'll take the plunge with scuba divers, nothing unusual you might think, but in alpine lakes? In winter? And as global warming causes glaciers to melt, creating new lakes, these divers may soon have more destinations to choose from. Alternatively, those new lakes could generate hydroelectricity. But there's a downside, too. They could become a flooding hazard to the people living downhill.
What are we doing with this new landscape, okay? Our generation is taking decisions for many generations to come,
says a top glaciology expert. Also on tap, a Swiss filmmaker who goes to extremes in Greenland and the South Pacific to show the victims of melting ice and rising sea levels.
The only way they can get out is starting a new life somewhere else, leaving behind a beautiful life that they really love, and to go into a life that is not theirs and that they haven't learned and they are afraid of that.
That was the director of Tule Tuvalu. We'll hear more from him later in the program. But first we check out the shifting landscape here in Switzerland, where glaciers are a shadow of their former selves. Many will melt completely as a result of global warming. Local researchers predict that in the coming decades, numerous lakes will form in their place. I talked to Wilfried Heberle, a world-renowned glacier expert and professor emeritus at the University of Zurich.
The change in the high mountains, which are still glacier-covered, is really dramatic. And the change is going on very rapidly, but it will then last for many generations to come because the glaciers will most probably not come back with the greenhouse effect we have. And this means that our generation, which in principle also causes the problem, has to take decisions for a very long time.
The loss of the glaciers will mean a change in the Swiss water supply. For centuries, the Swiss have been able to count on having enough water in summer thanks to the reserves stored in the ice and snow. A lack of glaciers could also mean a lack of water in dry years. On the other hand, the melting glaciers could bring too much water at once, causing flooding and landslides.
We cannot just leave these lakes alone without any protection because they are dangerous, especially the larger lakes, like for instance in the Aletsch region. They are above cities, right? Not just cows and sheep.
Heberle, who recently led a federally funded study on the formation of glacial lakes and their potential impact, recommends that stakeholders look into joint investments into common infrastructure.
If we have to do, for instance, retention structures, this will be a larger investment. It will also be, let's say, an impact on landscape, which will change anyway, right? Will be different in the future. But to make funding possible and, let's say, landscape impacts better acceptable, the multi-use of structures would be one solution, right? This would mean combining energy production with flood protection and perhaps even tourism development.
Roger Pfarrmatter, director of the Swiss Water Association, says that if these new lakes form, and power companies could benefit.
Because we need a lot of storage in the future. We lose the natural storage by glaciers, so we should have artificial storage, which might be the hydropower lakes.
But Heberle, the glaciologist, says the power companies should be more proactive.
In the energy sector, you know, the energy price dictates everything. And the long-term view of the power companies, which has been so important for us, you know, for the long-term developments, this long-term view is a little bit lost right now, also with the new concessions. So it's a difficult situation right now for long-term planning. This is bad insofar as long-term planning would be extremely important. What are we doing with this new landscape, okay? Our generation is taking decisions for many generations to come.
I asked Pfarrmatter why there wasn't more long-term planning in the hydropower sector.
Well, it's a very good point, and I fully agree. There should be long-term planning. There should be... People taking the risk to take these decisions, but finally the hydropower plant are in the hand of the public in Switzerland. It's 85% of Swiss hydropower is belonging to cantons and communes. So the problem right now is that Political and economical uncertainties are of much more concern to the hydropower companies than, let's say, climate change.
Switzerland's glaciers are about a third smaller than they were in the 1970s, and about half the size they were in the 1850s. Also experiencing a meltdown, the Inuit hunters of Thule in Greenland. Climate change is changing their way of life, and as their ice melts, it affects the people on the other side of the globe, in the island nation of Tuvalu in the South Pacific. The rising sea levels are threatening to wash away their lifestyle built around fishing and farming. The documentary film Thule, Tuvalu tells their stories. I asked director Matthias von Gunten which group was in more danger.
For sure the ones in Tuvalu, because if things continue to develop like they do now, we must suppose that water level will continue to rise, and then they reach a point where they cannot continue to live there. They have to disappear.
The Zurich-based director says that the Inuit people are already adapting to climate change.
We see in the film most probably the last hunters of this region. There are something like 50 now, and there are only, in the next generation, only two who want to become hunter. But one must say as well, not all the development is only due to climate change. It is also already going on that young people tend to go to the capital in Nuuk.
But for the people in Tuvalu, the situation is a lot grimmer.
And the people in Tuvalu, they don't have to adapt, they have to leave. They can try to survive as long as possible, and I think the point of leaving will not be when the island is drowning. It will not come to that point. I think psychologically they will leave earlier, because when they have again and again and again this drought problem, when their soil is getting totally salty, they have no crops, you get too depressed and life becomes so hard. I'm worrying more for the people in Tuvalu, because I know the only way they can get out is starting a new life somewhere else, leaving behind a beautiful life that they really love.
Von Gunten also says he didn't want to make a movie about climate change, but rather about people. I asked him who his favorite figure was.
I like them all, but I must say when I saw Rasmus, the hunter, the younger hunter in Thule, when I saw him the first time, I thought, I want to have this face in my film. He's the Greenland hunter, the younger one, and I like this face from the first moment. I still love it. I like to see the film just for seeing these people again. Because very often when the film is presented, I say something in the beginning, and I say, no, then I go away. I will not watch it, and then I stay. I want to see the people.
The film Thule, Tuvalu has appeared at festivals all over the world. It's now showing in Swiss cinemas. Returning to Swiss waters now, which may indeed increase as the glaciers melt. But until those new alpine lakes form, the diving community has plenty of options for underwater exploration, even when it's freezing outside. Marianne Burkhardt reports.
First, I put BCD on my tank, buoyancy control device. It's the first thing you have to fix on the tank. Before regulator, octopus, first hit the BCD. I prepare my fins.
It's a cold, dark winter evening, but Aline Lombley is preparing to scuba dive in Lake Geneva. She's a member of the club Immersion in Saint-Pré, Canton Vaud. Like other Swiss divers, Aline will be diving around the country throughout the winter. The lake is an uninviting 13 degrees Celsius. For many people, winter goes hand in hand with snow sports. But for others, like Aline, it's the best time of year to scuba dive in Switzerland's lakes and rivers. This landlocked country has a surprisingly high number of scuba divers. The Swiss Federation of Underwater Sports estimates that 250,000 people hold a diving license. Of these, according to a survey in 2013, 50,000 dive approximately 10 times a year in Switzerland. More surprisingly, perhaps, some 25,000 people dive at least once a week, including during the winter. I asked some of the divers at Saint-Pré why they do it.
I mainly dive in winter because the water is much clearer than in summer and visibility is perfect.
In fact, diving, it's the only sport that frees my mind. When I'm underwater, I have to focus on my dive, on my equipment, and at the same time, it's a feeling of peace and comfort.
The ambiance, atmosphere is really something exciting. Also, when you are in the water, it's like in the space. You can fly, and that's really good.
What are some of the most unique dives you've done in Switzerland?
In a river, in a Neuchâtel, it's a Reuse. And yeah, that was a very nice place with the rocks. The water was very clear, very, very good visibility.
We have a nice wreck near Lausanne. It's a 19th century paddle steamer boat. But it's pretty difficult to go there. So it's not open for every divers.
In a river. Riva is near Vevey. In Canton Vaud. And one time we have so clear visibility, maybe 30 meters, like in the sea. It was very, very incredible to dive with this visibility.
Have you ever dived and thought you weren't going to make it back up to the surface?
Never.
I never had a bad moment. No, never.
Yeah, I have a scary moment in Chillon. Chillon, it's a very famous place for diving, but it's also a very famous place for a diving accident. Some people died in scuba diving in Chillon. And yes, I had some problem with my buoyancy and visibility wasn't very good. And it was the panic. And fortunately, my buddy was with me and... We go up at the surface. I don't dive anymore in Chillon. I'm too afraid of this place.
Christophe Cotin is president of the diving club in Saint-Pré. He's written 3 guides to diving locations in Switzerland and created a smartphone application called Swiss Dive, detailing more than 600. There may not be any tropical fish in Swiss waters, but there are plenty of other things to see.
Des brochets qui vont jusqu'à 1m20 de longueur.
There are pike, which can be up to 1m20 long, and catfish, which can be even bigger, almost 2 meters. There are also little perch, crayfish, burbot, ferra, and a few char.
Ferra et quelques ombles. Mais bien sûr, il y a aussi.
Of course, there are wrecks too. Some are simple little wooden boats. Others, like in Lake Geneva and other lakes, big paddle steamers, like the ones that can still be seen on Lake Geneva and Lake Neuchâtel, for example. Some divers like to create little trails to make kind of playgrounds for divers, with mannequins or special themed areas to visit.
And I've seen that some people ice dive. They go down holes in frozen lakes.
Yes, it's true that in winter we also like to go up to the mountains to dive under ice. Going into the water through a hole and being able to admire the quality of the water with the daylight shining into the hole and lighting up the bottom is something magical, which absolutely has to be experienced at least once.
So, for anyone who may be tempted to learn to scuba dive, there is another world waiting to be explored in Switzerland's winter waters.
That was Marianne Burkhardt reporting from Lake Geneva. And that's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Daniel Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.